All right, Kaiser Racing Radio from Nome, Alaska. This will probably be our last one for the year. Myron, we've had a little struggle in a checkpoint. It looks like Pete's taken quite a big amount of time. Talk to us about what your take on it is, and how you overcome maybe a team trouble or something like that. Talk about the decision process and how that all works.
Well, everybody's got their own plan, and Pete's obviously is if there's issues, he sits down, rests, and waits for things to get better, and that's always a good idea. It's frustrating for those that are watching because, first of all, they don't know what's going on. Secondly, even if they do know what's going on, they're anxious to see him go anyway. You know, we're losing ground here. I've been getting calls about that just today from people. He's slipping his places there. He's losing places. Well, that's right. But, you know, there's a couple, three things going on in people's mind I've heard him talk about before. One is where you plan to finish in the first place. And clearly, Pete was hoping to finish in the upper reaches of this race. I don't think he ever told me a number. He may not have even announced a number, but certainly he had visions of contending for the title and then hopefully finishing somewhere near the title if he didn't win. Okay, so if the dogs aren't performing well enough at a key point in the race to do that, one reaction, and perhaps Pete's would be, he doesn't worry about his placement after he finds out he can't place where he wants to place.
Sure.
It's not that big a deal to plow along with slow dogs or unhappy dogs just to get a few extra places that are, in some respects, meaningless to that type of musher. Well, other guys, if they're not going well, rather than wait around for things to go well, they go home. And there's probably less of that this year than some years, but especially considering how bad the weather was, it's funny that didn't happen a little bit more. But that was always the way I dealt with it in the old days. If I wasn't doing well, I didn't want to watch a team perform below standards because I was usually racing short races, and there's always another one maybe in a couple, 3 weeks that I can do better in. So I'd go home if things did not go right. And I stayed in the race where it was going good, and I'd not stay in a race if things went south. And other people just keep going. Okay, so they've slowed up. I'm going to march it out just because I want to get to the finish. Well, that's a third way of dealing with it. But it looks like Pete is using the first of those three options.
Right, and you know, if you talk to him or you listen to him in some of the checkpoints, he was talking about a young team. I mean, when he came into Koyukuk, he was talking about a young team that maybe not doing quite as well as he thought. But from being around him, he's also looking further down the road with a three-year-old team. He's looking at next year and the year after. And I have this in my mind that he's doing what he needs to do and what the team needs to do so that integrity is maintained. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I've always mentioned that the Iditarod mentality is a difficult one for me to conceive of. And the reason it's hard for me to conceive of the Iditarod mentality is that if you are not doing well this year, or as well as you want to do this year, you have to wait a whole year to try again, and there's no assurance you'll do well next year. That's a very slow process for some people. I'm not that patient.
Right.
And that's why one of the reasons I didn't stay with the Iditarod is because there were too many shorter, more fun, for me, for my style of racing, races to take part in, and I just couldn't live with this idea, well, this year's shot, we'll plan on next year. Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
Right, but, you know, that's why I am so much, and I've said this online, I really respect these guys that have that that whole cycle. And then that's that, for that very reason is why I was so upset about the Brent Sass thing, sending him home, because I knew it was a whole nother year. And I thought that he should be allowed to continue with because, you know, a lot of these folks, they wait that whole year. You really have to do something bad to send him home. Well, I'm pretty encouraged seeing him on the trail right now. His speed's good. So obviously he waited, did what he had to do and what the team needed. And then if you talk to him, it's always about the team. I think most mushers, it's always about the team, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So since this is our last show, I have one other question that's off topic, not really off topic, but something that that has been kind of bugging me a little bit. And that is, so we're looking at this class of mushers, this class of Richie and Pete and Wade Mars, that group of 20-year-olds that is in mushing now, but I'm not seeing a lot up and coming. Where do you see this going? I mean, how do we get younger people to bite that, pull that fruit from the tree or plant that seed to start this going? Because you see some of the big name guys sticking out a long time, but there's not a lot coming in from the lower edge. And I think you'd agree that's kind of a problem.
Oh, it's a definite problem. There's no very, very few young people taking part in Nome, Kotzebue, Dillingham, and the sport is dying out. And I'm speaking now primarily of rural Alaska because that's where my interest lies. Bethel, we have had some success in getting youngsters involved, but it's a continuing process. And in fact, the youngsters that we got involved all had family traditions in being in racing, these ones in this recent group you're talking about. They all had a family tradition behind them when they got started. And that makes it somewhat easier because you get somebody there who's a mentor, at very least, to help somebody along. What do we do in Bethel to get mushers in? Well, for us, it's expanding our program for kids racing, because kids, if they get a chance to try it, some of them are going to try to stay with it. That's just the fact of life. Now, how they do it in the road system, it's really hard for me to tell how that could happen, but certainly it is getting a chance to participate at an early age and not being shut out because of finances. Finances, of course, is much more of a problem for starting mushers than it was when I started mushing. When I started mushing, I was 27, 8 years old, and you could just round up dogs and some cheap food, and off you went.
Right. And now...
But now that's very difficult. Hard to do. You've got to... The cost of dogs is high, although most people can start with cast-offs to get a little taste of it. But the cost of food, there's no cheap way around that.
No, there isn't. And if you look at, I believe it's Wade Mars, and they had a picture of his sled online today, and that's a shoestring budget you're looking at. And I just, I don't know. I really love this sport, and that is a problem that I think that the Iditarod and the other races are going to have to contend with. I think they're going to have to do what the K300 has done and get involved so that the sport is maintained. Otherwise, I think I hate to say it, but it's diminishing.
Yeah, well, definitely. There's a need for more young blood in the races, and they do well. They catch on quick, and they do well, but there's just not enough of them.
Right. Well, Myron, it's been a fun race talking to you on Kaiser Racing Radio, and... I'm sure this won't be the last time we hear from you, but thanks again for all your help and spending some time with us.
All right. We'll talk again.
You bet. See ya.